Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
3,000 years ago, King David ruled that Jerusalem is the Jewish capital. It was then, it always will be. Israel's capital is Jerusalem, and it's time that we recognize it and say it in every forum.
Friends, I know that you are avid readers of the Bible. Well, so am I. I find time every Saturday to sit down with my son Avner and to read the Bible, the weekly Torah portion.
The voices of Malcolm Hohenlund, Executive Vice Chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, and the voice of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressing Christians United for Israel recently in Washington, D.C. What is this group? Is Zionism something that's limited only to Jewish groups? Apparently not, because Christians United for Israel sport a certain kind of Christian Zionism. What is the danger of this belief? What are the roots of it? And what are its implications, not only theologically, but for geopolitics? Join us to talk about a recent conference sponsored by Christians United for Israel. Dr. Stephen Sizer, he's a regular guest, vicar of Christ Church in Surrey, England, and author of the books Christian Zionism and Zion's Christian Soldiers. Dr. Sizer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Christians United for Israel met, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to them via satellite. Where do Christians United for Israel and the political leader of Israel agree? What are they agreeing on here?
Well, I'm a critic, and therefore my view may be considered biased, and clearly you need to engage with Kufi as well. But the reality is Christians United for Israel is a front for the Israeli government. It's a lobby group that reflects the most militant and aggressive form of Zionism in the world today, and they are doing the bidding of the Israeli government. John Hagee is very aggressive in his rhetoric. He said recently, America must join Israel in a preemptive military strike against Iran to fulfill Bible prophecy and speed the return of Christ. He's advocating unilateral preemptive military bombing of another country. This is light years away from the teaching of the New Testament.
So instruct us a little bit as to the roots, the historical roots of the Christian Zionist movement that we see manifesting itself today in organizations like Christians United for Israel.
Well, Zionism itself, although we tend to associate Zionism with Judaism or with Jews, that's a misnomer. First of all, many Jews repudiate Zionism. The Jewish faith is a religious conviction. Zionism is a political system. In the 19th century, the origins of Zionism lay firmly and squarely within the Christian community. 50 years before, Theodor Herzl was advocating a Jewish state. Rather eccentric Christian leaders in Britain were advocating the return of the Jews to bring Jesus back. So the roots of Zionism are firmly within what we would call today premillennialism, dispensationalism, the idea that God has two chosen peoples, Israel and the church. And the origins are largely British, although it became quite a popular movement in America with the writings of Cyrus Scofield, the Scofield Reference Bible, and the founding of Dallas Theological Seminary and other institutions like that. They basically believe that Zionism is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, when God promised Abraham your descendants will be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, or that your descendants will inherit the land from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. They see those as the modern borders of historic Israel and equate the Israel of the Old Testament with Israel today. But again, that's a misnomer. the people of Israel in the Old Testament were inclusive, included people of many other nations, was not associated racially with one particular people group, and it was a people of faith. And residence in the land was conditional on faithful obedience. Today, Zionism is, and Israel is largely a secular state and is driven by secular values, not religious convictions.
With about a minute here before break, what did the establishment of the Jewish state in 1948 do for Christian Zionism?
Well, Christian Zionists had been advocating for a homeland for the Jewish people from the mid-19th century, but they believed that the Jews would return to the land as a Christian nation. The pattern in the Old Testament prophets was rebel and you're out, repent and you can return. And therefore the return to the land was associated with repentance. In Christian terms, that would be associated with recognizing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That didn't happen, and therefore Christian Zionism as a movement rationalized its agenda in the belief that the Jews would return to the land and then return to the Lord. Again, that hasn't happened. So when Israel was founded as a state in 1948, that was really the wake-up call for many fundamentalists in America and Europe after the Second World War, seen as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. That went through the roof in 1967 when Israel appeared to defeat the surrounding nations in a six-day war and recapture Jerusalem. But neither of those events are mandated in Scripture or predicted in Scripture. It's a case of reading back into Scripture contemporary events.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Stephen Sizer on Christian Zionism. Are Christian Zionists rewriting biblical prophecy to fit the history they're witnessing? We'll be right back.
In God's country,
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I have said already a number of times that within the next 20 years, certainly 25, Europe will be Islamic.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In some countries, in France, it's already 10%. And it will continue to grow because the West is not willing to resist it. And once they attain a certain percentage of the population, they begin to dominate and get their way. And so I predict that within 50 years, if nothing changes, the West will certainly be Islamic.
You can listen to Dr. Schmidt's entire presentation, Making the Case Against Islam, and six other presentations from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference on our new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Stephen Sizer is our guest, Vicar of Christ Church in Surrey, England, author of the books Christian Zionism and Zion's Christian Soldiers. We're talking about a recent conference sponsored by a Zionist group, Christians United for Israel. You were talking before the break how the return of Israel to the historic land in 1948, the reestablishment of the nation state of Israel, in some ways was problematic for Christian Zionists because they expected it to be a Christian nation, not a secular slash Jewish nation, which it remains to this very day. So are Christian Zionists rewriting biblical prophecy to fit the history they've witnessed?
Very much so, very much so. I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples. It creates a kind of addiction, and you know that people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol, they're on a high, then when it wears off, they come down, and then they forget about it, and there's a must-have for the next high. In the 1930s, when the Jewish people were suffering under Hitler in Germany, you find dispensational leaders in America predicting, oh, this must be the prophecy of Scripture where the Jews would suffer, Jacob's trouble. You know, when you are looking to the newspapers to fulfill Bible prophecy, you'll grab at anything that appears to justify your interpretation. So in Daniel, you find the empires of the bear. Well, that must be Russia. The lion. Well, that must be Britain. You know, the eagle. That must be America. It's very easy to read into Scripture these kinds of notions. You go to the writings of Hal Lindsey in the 1970s when he wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. The great enemy was communism, and he predicts how communism would seek to conquer Israel, and the free West would come to the defense of Israel. As communism declined, you find in his books he talks less and less about communism and more about Islam. And you go to the writings of people like Charles Dyer and other dispensational writers, and they speculated that Gorbachev must be the Antichrist because he had the mark of the beast. Then it was Saddam Hussein because he was rebuilding Babylon. Then it was Osama bin Laden because he was the Antichrist figure. And then we've got Ahmadinejad because he wants to destroy the Jewish people. We must have a demon figure. And we have this addiction that forgets failed prophecies from yesterday, and we get taken in by the next bestseller, which predicts what's going to happen next.
Why the emphasis, and this is what we hear coming out of the most recent meeting of Christians United for Israel, why the emphasis on the city of Jerusalem as geographical capital of Israel?
Very easy. You know, if we were strategizing as members of the Israeli government for the last 50, 60 years about how we were going to consolidate our claim on the land, the problem was the land was never empty. You know, it was a myth to suggest a land of no people for a people with no land. The problem was they wanted the land, but it was full of people. So how do you grab the land? You've got to get rid of the people. And when you look at Israel-Palestine, Jerusalem is strategic. And in 1948, when Israel was founded, Israel was a divided city. You had West Jerusalem and East Jerusalem and the Old City. But at the heart of Zionism is increasingly a religious agenda that wants to rebuild the temple. And the problem is the Dome of the Rock is in the middle of the Old City, and it's in the way of the rebuilding of the temple. And so Jerusalem is strategic, not only geographically, politically, but also theologically, because increasingly the Zionist movement is being dominated by religious settlers who share a common eschatology, an apocalyptic eschatology, with their Christian fundamentalists. They believe God will vindicate them as they step out in faith. Gershon Salomon from the Temple Mount Faithful said, the Messiah will not come by himself, we should bring him by fighting. Well, that's exactly the same view of the Zealots in the first century. Now, if you look at a map of Israel-Palestine, if you control Jerusalem, there is no possibility of an independent, sovereign, viable, contiguous Palestinian state. You've cut the West Bank in two. And in effect, that's what Israel has already done. You cannot travel from Bethlehem to Ramallah or even East Jerusalem without going through numerous checkpoints and needing permits. So the Palestinians are now basically in what you have in America with Indian reservations. And if those reservations had walls around them, then you can begin to understand how trapped the Palestinians feel within their ghettos. So Jerusalem is central, and that's why Kufi and others insist Jerusalem must be the eternal, undivided, exclusive capital of the Jewish people. It's a myth. It never was, and there will never be peace until it's shared. In the scriptures, Jerusalem is portrayed as a city for all nations. Jesus quotes the prophets when he says, "My house will be a house of prayer for all nations." So we've got to keep the inclusive, open nature of Jerusalem going if there's any future peace between Israel and the Palestinians.
You said a few moments ago that it appeared that National Israel had defeated their Arab local enemies in the Six-Day War in 1967. Why did you put it that way?
Well, they did clearly defeat them, but it, with hindsight, we realize it was inevitable. You know, with the fall of communism, we realize that much of the Russian communist weapons industry and the propaganda war was not as substantial as we feared. Yes, they had and they still have plenty of nuclear weapons, but their technology was and is vastly inferior to Western technology. So when Israel preemptively struck against the Egyptian Air Force, for example, when it was still on the ground, they wiped out the Egyptian Air Force, and they moved to attack the Jordanians, and they attacked the Syrians. They were very strategic, and they were using the latest American military hardware to achieve what was a massacre. The Arabs were largely badly led. Their equipment was inferior, and so we don't need to bring in an act of God to understand why Israel was able to do what it did in 1967. So I would remain agnostic as to God's purposes as to what happened in 67. But the international community, and largely the Christian community, recognizes Palestinians are created in the image of God just as the Jewish people are, and that any solution in Israel-Palestine must respect the rights and aspirations of both people groups. They are equal. And we must find a way forward that respects their rights. The best defense is a good neighbor, and what Israel and the Palestinians need are good neighbors.
How does Christians United for Israel reconcile the fact that there's a significant population of the Palestinians who are Christians?
Well, if you look at the film With God on Our Side, which I helped to produce, Porter Speakman produced the film. He interviews John Hagee in the film, and there are clips of Hagee's very, very provocative statements from previous Kufi conferences. He laments that the Palestinian Christians are caught in between Zionism and Islamism, but he fails to recognize that his agenda, his movement, his rhetoric is making things worse, because he denies the Palestinians their basic human rights. The United Nations recognizes the territorial integrity of Israel, but it recognizes the right of the Palestinians to an independent state based on the 1967 borders. Hagee rejects that because he believes the Jews have a right to everything from the Egyptian border to the Euphrates. Well, you can't reconcile that with the rights of the Palestinians. His agenda is apocalyptic, and it's confrontational, and his eyes are not on Palestine. His eyes are on Syria and Iran, and he wants America to bomb them too. You know, that is not the kind of teaching you should expect from a Christian leader, and it is not going to further the peace process in the Middle East, or, to be fair, improve the image of America in the Arab world, where they equate American foreign policy with the Christian faith, and the people who suffer most are the local Christians.
With only about a minute here, Dr. Sizer, what is the real dual danger of Christian Zionism, both theologically and geopolitically? About a minute or so.
Well, I see it as a form of heresy, because it substitutes Israel and a notion of Israel, a romantic notion of Israel. It replaces the cross and Jesus with a political agenda for the Middle East, and secular Zionists are rubbing their hands that 50 million Christians in America and Europe are backing the 5 or 6 million Jews in the Middle East. So I believe it is a heresy. It's a distortion of the gospel. We're called to be peacemakers. We're called to be ambassadors of reconciliation. peacemakers, not widowmakers, reconciliation, not confrontation. Christian Zionism, its core, is a confrontational movement that is advocating the rights of a secular state over those of Christian witness and support and building of the indigenous church right across the world, not just the Middle East.
Dr. Stephen Sizer is vicar of Christ Church in Surrey, England. He's author of the books Christian Zionism and Zion's Christian Soldiers. You'll find links to these books under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Sizer, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Last month, we held our Issues Etc. Making the Case conference here in Collinsville, Illinois. I know that many of you wanted to attend, but just couldn't make it for one reason or another. Well, we've produced a new DVD with almost 8 hours of audio, including each of the speakers' presentations: Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Pastor Will Whedon, Dr. Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, Chris Roseborough, and myself. We'll send you this new audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference for a financial gift of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Now, you can find out more at issuesetc.org and look for the logo of the audio DVD for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Issuesetc.org. You will see the logo right there. Click on that. You'll find out everything you need to know about getting those 8 hours of audio from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Walter A. Meyer II about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Also Monday, we'll discuss Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem with Pastor Tom Baker. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you next week. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.